Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we looked at Jesus' illustration of a grapevine to explain how we live as people of the resurrection, loving one another as Jesus first loved us. On the night before he died for them on the cross, Jesus told his disciples, "I am the vine, you are the branches." He explained that for them to grow the fruit of love, they needed to remain or abide in him. They didn't have within them the power to love others as Jesus loved them, and if they tried by themselves, they would fail. But if the disciples remained connected to Jesus, he would give them the necessary power, just as a vine feeds its branches with life-giving sap. As the disciples remained in Jesus, they could not help but bear the fruit of love, just as a branch connected to a healthy vine can't help but grow good grapes. Today's reading continues with this theme, further explaining what Jesus meant with his illustration. It also gives us a chance to look at some ways in which Christians misunderstand the relationship between faith, that is our connection to Jesus, and good works, which are the fruit that results from that connection. Jesus said in John chapter 15, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Let's pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. One of the biggest challenges we Lutherans face when engaging with Christians of other traditions is their idea that faith is a work rather than a gift. Often such Christians will start off well, explaining how much God has done for us. But then eventually they will insist that people now need to make a decision for Christ or invite him into their heart. Now, to be fair to such people from a human perspective, it does look like we can choose to love God. But the Bible clearly tells us that humans can never choose God. He always makes the first move, giving us the gift of faith so that we can respond to his goodness by serving him and our neighbour. We see this dynamic clearly explained by Jesus in John chapter 15, in verse 16 of our reading. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." We see the same understanding using different language or a different picture in Ephesians chapter 2 when Paul says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." But why are we Lutherans so hung up about this? Why do we so strongly insist that faith must be God's work and not ours? Well, aside from the fact that God tells us it is so in the Bible, it's necessary for our spiritual well-being that we understand faith is God's gift rather than our work. If faith were our work, then our salvation would be uncertain because we often struggle to trust God, don't we? If our salvation were based on our level of faith, then we could never be sure that we were truly saved. But this problem only comes about when we confuse law and gospel, another thing we Lutherans get hung up about. Law, remember, is what God asks us to do, and gospel is what he does for us. Faith is gospel. It is what God does for us. It is a gift that he gives us unconditionally. To use Jesus' illustration of a vine, salvation is like God the vine dresser grafting us branches into Jesus. We had no choice in the matter. It was all God's doing. Faith, likewise, is not our choice. As long as we remain in Jesus, faith flows into us from him, like sap flows from the vine into the branch, keeping it alive. But now that we have received the gift of faith, we are in turn empowered to do. As we discussed earlier, the spiritual power we receive from Jesus enables us to love God and others like the sap from the vine empowers the branch to bear fruit. But we must also remember that the good works we do don't save us. The law doesn't justify us, and so good works don't make us right with God. See Galatians 2 for more of that. Of course, none of this means that we shouldn't strive to do good works. Good works are good. They just don't save us. And that is actually good news, because when our level of faith fluctuates and our good works with it, we don't need to be worried about our salvation. Because our salvation is truly a gift, it is only dependent on God, not on us. He gives us salvation and faith as gifts, and God won't take back those gifts. See Romans 11. When we trust in God's faithfulness rather than our own fluctuating faith, we can be confident in our salvation. The only time we should be concerned is when we reject God's gifts to us. Here I am talking about unbelief, not doubt, not weak faith. Using Jesus' illustration again, unbelief is like a branch cutting itself off from the life-giving sap of the vine. If a branch doesn't receive sap, then of course it can't bear fruit. And when the branch is shriveled up and unproductive, when it's dead, then the vine dresser will cut it off the vine and throw it away. That's why in last week's sermon, I went on about the importance of regularly receiving God's word and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Again, it's important to note that going to church and reading the Bible won't save you. Going to church and reading the Bible are good. They're good works. They are good for you, but they won't make God love you any more than he already does. Likewise, if you happen to miss a week or two of church, God isn't going to love you any less. But if you do miss a week or two of church, or you stop reading your Bible at home regularly, that should set alarm bells ringing. And you should give yourself a spiritual health check. Because not going to church or spending time with God in devotions might mean that you start loving God less. And if that persists over time, you might end up not loving him at all. This happens because word and sacrament are God's means of grace, as we call them. They are the only certain conduit through which God gives us his gifts of salvation. As the Augsburg Confession, Article 5, explains, to obtain such faith, God instituted the office of preaching, giving the gospel and the sacraments. Through these, as through means, he gives the Holy Spirit who produces faith, where and when he wills, in those who hear the gospel. And then immediately afterwards in the next article, Article 6, it starts like this. It is also taught that such faith should yield good fruit and good works, and that a person must do such good works as God has commanded for God's sake, but not place trust in them, as if thereby to earn grace before God. For we receive forgiveness of sin and righteousness through faith in Christ. This pattern of justification being made right with God, faith through the office of preaching, and then good works is deliberate, because during the Reformation, the Lutherans were accused of denying that good works were necessary for Christians. But the Reformers simply wanted to ensure that people understood the proper relationship between law and gospel, faith and good works. They wanted us to understand the proper order between these things. First, God justifies us. He makes us right with himself. Then he gives us the gift of faith. And then that faith leads us to do good works. That's why the picture of good works as the fruit of faith is so helpful. What's more, as Jesus reminds us, doing good works leads to joy. In verse 11, he said, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And good works lead to joy because, as we heard in the reading from Ephesians 2, we are God's handiwork. We are created to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do. And so when we fulfill our purpose, we experience joy. We experience godly satisfaction in our work. Before I finish, there's one further topic that Jesus raises in both last week's and this week's reading that is important to understand, and that is the topic of prayer. Last week in verse 7, Jesus said, If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And today in verse 16, You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Like faith, prayer is often mistaken as a work that justifies. In other words, people think, if I pray the right formula, or I pray with sufficient fervor, or if I pray long enough, then I will impress God and convince him to give me whatever I want. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Prayer is good. Prayer is important. We should pray because God loves to give us good things in answer to our prayers. But, like other good works, prayers don't make us right before God. Nor are Jesus' words a blanket promise to give us anything we ask for, even if it's bad for us. What Jesus is saying here is that when we remain connected to him, we can pray confidently, sure that God will give us what we ask for. Because when we are connected to Jesus, we know what his good will is for our lives, and we can then pray according to that will. We know this because Jesus calls his disciples not servants, but friends, friends who know his business. Anything they pray for in keeping with Jesus' business, with his mission to save all people, will be given to them. What's more, Jesus doesn't tell us what he wants us to pray for, what's important to him, but he invites us to tell him what's important to us. John Kleinig, in his excellent book Grace Upon Grace, likens prayer to being part of the cabinet of the US president. Cabinet ministers help shape the president's policy. They are there to advise the president, not just take orders. And so it is with us. We are members of God's cabinet. Our job is to recognize the needs of people around us and bring them to God the Father along with our own needs. And then we can be confident that the Father will recognize those needs for the sake of his beloved Son and answer our prayers. The vine and the branches is a helpful illustration for understanding the relationship between faith and good works. Faith is a gift from God. Faith is effective not because of our level of faith, but because of the power of the one in whom we trust. We can be confident that we are saved not because we chose God, but because he chose us and keeps us connected with Jesus. Then, as we remain connected to Jesus, receiving his word and sacraments, he empowers us to do good works. He helps us to trust that where we can't, he can. He helps us to love and care for one another. And he helps us to pray for our own needs and for the needs of others, confident that God the Father will hear and answer those prayers because they are in accordance with his promises to us. And as we remain in Jesus and keep his commands, we will experience joy. The joy of knowing that we are well and truly loved by our Heavenly Father forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.